I'm Hillary Clinton. We're between seasons on my podcast, You and Me Both. But this week, we're dropping a special bonus episode because, let's face it, these are extraordinary times. I'm talking to Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, about the violent insurrection on January 6th. I'll also be talking about how we can move forward as a country. Listen to You and Me Both on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Abraham Lincoln's deep depressions make him a better president to lead the U.S. through civil war? Why did Marilyn Monroe's death by suicide coincide with an upswing in her movie career? I'm Dr. Gail Saltz, and on my podcast, Season 2 of Personology, I'll be joined by amazing experts to delve into the minds of famous historical figures. If you want to know what really made exceptional people tick, then take a listen to Personology. Find Season 2 of Personology on January 25th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit serious.
Yo, 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 mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yo, microphone check, 1, 2, who is this?
Episode 113?
113, baby.
God damn. Episode 113, Serious Rap Shit. I'm your host, John.
And I'm your other host, Josh.
And yeah, we are back in the building. Josh, how you been?
I'm good, man.
Yeah.
I'm living, maintaining.
Chilling, you look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Glowing out here, you know what I mean?
It's, you know, glowing and flowing.
Yeah.
It's been like, I want to say an eventful, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Last couple of days, you know what I'm saying? We've been out here rocking. So, yeah, we are back in the building. A little hiatus.
Yes.
We've been on a hiatus, you know. The last episode, we put up the last episode 2 weeks ago?
It might even be longer than that.
Maybe 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we just, you know, this is our first episode at our new home.
Yes, our new home.
Yeah, iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, shout out to them. And so, you know, we had to, like, do some housekeeping stuff and take, like, a brief hiatus
yes.
with the podcast. But, yeah, we back in effect.
Yeah, episode we back in the building.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3 in the place to be.
Yeah. The last episode was episode 112.
Yes.
Where the podcast dwells.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's been you know, it's been a long time coming. We've been working with iHeart for months and months now.
Yeah, sometime in the summer.
Yeah, since the summertime. So yeah, it's been a long time coming, and
it's
we're
been
here.
A long time coming for us. Period. 3 years, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Three years of doing the podcast.
Yeah, we've been rocking
20 plus years of friendship.
That shit sounds frightening.
Yeah.
when you say that. That we've been friends for 20 years, there are two different feelings that I have. One feeling I have is like gratitude. I'm like, oh shit, me and my man, we've been rocking out for two decades.
Yeah.
That's official since we was little fucking kids. But then another part of me feels like we're like hurtling toward the grave.
Yeah.
And then that time is moving so fast. Your kids are getting older.
Yeah, I'm doing all this shit for my son now with college stuff. Like,
that is wild.
I mean? Trying to get him all set up and get into a college, and
yeah, for you know, before we even get too deep into it, we should probably do like intros, like
yeah.
Who am I? Who are
for
you?
For new folks, checking yeah, us out for folks who, time.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to everybody.
Anybody who's listening now for like the 100th time or whatever. Oh well, just got stuff to do it.
For the folks that know us well and know us on an intimate level, yeah, you're about to hear us reintroduce ourselves. You want to go? Or you want me to go?
You go first.
Okay. My name is John Morrison. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm a music journalist by trade. I write for a whole bunch of folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Okay Player, the Grammys, Red Bull Music Academy. Well, Red Bull Music Academy.
Red Bull,
yeah, went out of business. Shout out to them.
Are they officially done now?
They're done. Yeah. Okay. Red Bull's still doing music related things. Yeah. Like Red Bull does a lot of the like DJ competitions and the B-boy, B-girl competitions.
And they still like launch people into space and shit, right? And
then, launch like, niggas into space. They also fuel like drunken frat party activities. They do all kind of shit.
Dog, I was at Chickie and Pete's last night. The Eagles game was on last night. And
Chickie and Pete's a famous Philadelphia.
Sports bar type thing.
Yeah, sports bar eatery.
So I was in there and I was like, you know, I'm grabbing some food and shit while I'm chilling. And like, yo, Bulls was killing the Red Bulls. Like, they was
just downing them.
Yeah, I'm just going like, yo, how like.
That's like a cultural thing. Red Bull, Mountain Dew.
How did your heart not explode? Like,
I'm so skittish about my health. We'll get into that later, but I'm so skittish about my health. Not skittish enough to like go vegan or plant based.
Nope.
Yo.
No, like if you put like if you were like, yo, drink 5 Red Bulls or rip like 3 lines of coke. What are you gonna choose? The idea of like that, listen, I've drank Red Bulls plenty of times. I worked a shitty job, I hate it. And I don't like I don't like that. First of all, I think they taste like shit anyway.
They're awful.
And
they're absolutely awful taste
wise. Like, they're so like hypercarbonated and cold. The idea of drinking that like 5 like back to back or being like I mean, it's just 3 sniffs, baby. Like, you know what I mean? It's not a lot.
I'm skittish anyway. When I used to do drugs, I was one of those people who would get high and be like, oh shit, I'm too high.
Yeah.
Like, immediately. So, I'm naturally skittish with, like, really anything. You know what I mean? Like, if it's not, if it didn't, you know, grow out of the ground or, like, run in a field, I don't fuck with it.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with it at all. But, yeah, you know, like I was saying, I'm a music writer, I'm a DJ, you know what I mean? Do a lot of like music related stuff. And I met Josh in high school. Yeah.
Where our kids, you don't have a kid.
I was going to say, I got kids.
My son and your nephew attend that high school now.
Yeah, Northeast High.
They're getting ready to graduate in
Philadelphia,
Like, what, 6 more months, I guess?
That's so crazy. But they don't, like, go on adventures together like we do.
No, they're athletes, so they actually, like, care about their bodies and, like, have to maintain a certain GPA so they can still be eligible to play sports. You know, they don't attend every lunch period and see how many they can get away with.
Just sit around a lunch period, cut class.
I told my son, I was like, oh, I know, like, the library is down this way, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, I've never been in. I was like, I used to go there every once in a while. Like, we cut class because you couldn't go to lunch every period.
Yeah.
So you just cut class, library. Yeah.
Hang in the library. Oh, man.
Yeah. No. I'm Josh. No last name. You don't get that.
Fuck that.
You either know it or you don't. If you knew, you're never going to know it. Never going to say it. I mean, it is on my IG profile, but whatever.
Gotta take that down, though.
Yeah, I could.
It's cool.
I could take that down. But I'm a father, I'm a writer, former abuser of my body through manual labor.
The worst kind of way to abuse. If you abuse your body through like,
alcohol,
S&M, like all the fun shit, skydiving.
Yeah.
That's like fly shit.
Yeah.
But
like if you broke your legs because you went skydiving and the chute ain't open or something.
Right.
I mean, you have at least have a story. I just broke my body down over years and years and years and years of service.
Yeah, working for somebody. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, nah.
We ain't on that no more.
Nah, but I'm a, me and John, again, grew up, been friends for 20 plus years since high school.
Yeah.
This is back in the day when everybody rhymed. So we all rhymed.
Our whole crew.
Yeah, everybody in our
MCs,
crew rhymed.
Absolutely.
We would come down to lunch and one person would bring, we'd come down to one of our lunches, one of the lunches that we took for that day, and like somebody would spit a rhyme. And then like we'd go back to class and you'd write a new rhyme to come back and like try to improve upon what the last person did.
Yeah, battling and shit.
Yeah.
Just, you know. Obsessed, absolutely obsessed with hip hop music.
Yes. Yeah, I mean.
Our whole friend circle.
Hip hop culture was like what we ate, and sleep or whatever. However, eat, drink, and sleep. It's how we dressed, how we talked, how we lived. Go cut school to go down to Armand's. which is like a famous record place here in Philly. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Armand's.
Yeah, rest in peace, closed now. So rest in peace, Armand's. But like, or go down to like Funko Mart.
Right.
You know what I mean? We were obsessed with like just hip hop culture, period. Just being a part of it.
And like the cool shit, not the shit that y'all liked in high school. Like,
nah.
We like the good shit. We's fucking with that Camp Low. We's fucking with Company. I fuck with Company Flow. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Flow. Love Company Flow. Shout out to LP.
Yeah, shout out to LP.
Now of Run the Jewels.
You know, get some Chino XL going, you know what I mean? You know, a pure product of hip hop. Like, we were the first generation, too, of like, where hip hop existed the whole time we were alive.
How about that? Because my older brother remembers a time before,
before
rap hip-hop was really like a thing. But yeah, we, you know, I think Rapper's Delight came out, the fall before I was born.
Okay.
Something like that. So
yeah, something like that. Yeah. That's like 79, something like that. So like, we're the first generation of kids who grew up with like hip hop existing from the moment we were born.
Yeah.
Till, you know what I mean, till the moment we pass, that hip hop will be a thing.
Shit's gonna outlast both of us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know though. You know.
You got like a good 60 years
left.
We get
this good universal health care, you know what I mean?
We get Bernie. We get Bernie Sanders.
Just saying.
That's gonna be part of the Bernie Sanders healthcare plan. Yeah. They're gonna like cryogenically freeze people or figure out a way to like really.
Would you do that? Would you freeze your the Disney thing where you like freeze your head or whatever?
I don't I don't know where this comes from in my personality. Mm-hmm. I have a deep fear of being incapacitated but also conscious.
Okay, yeah,
so
I feel you.
My fear is that they'll freeze me and I'll be aware of the shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Your head, you'll be essentially in your head for however many years or whatever.
And it gives me so much anxiety. Like, this used to be like a way bigger fear when I was younger. But, you know, I've kind of like grown a little bit past it, but it's still in there. Like that's like that Black Mirror shit where they take your consciousness and like put it in a doll like a or some or shit.
Like that,
you know what I'm saying? You're not putting me in no kind of stasis or anything. None of that shit.
You wouldn't do it to see the future, though?
Fuck the future, dog.
Yo, we might get them hoverboards, though, yo.
Freeze me like fucking Walt Disney.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back to see hoverboard, the little Nike joints from Back to the Future that strapped to the board in your Nikes. Nah, yo, I don't give a fuck about the future.
I know I wouldn't want to go back and see the past.
Oh, hell no.
That's like 100%. Like, I'm like, oh, nah. Like, you know.
I'm not going back to, like, the 50s.
Nah,
yo. Some white man, like, call me boy and shit. Nah, it's not happening.
Yo, you ever peep, like, in Back to the Future, there is that thing where he's like the brother's he's like a clerk at like the malt shop they was at or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, yo, you're gonna be, and like, cause he comes back in time from when he was the mayor of the city, and he's like, you're gonna be mayor. And he's like, that's right, I can be mayor. Like, cause it was the fucking 50s.
Jesus, yeah.
Back
to the Future is ridiculous. On a lot of levels.
Oh, yeah. I loved it as a kid. Like, you know what I mean? But it's not something, like, now I go back and watch it, and it's like, oh, that's cool. Like, there's certain shit, but it's wild rapey. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So much like 80s shit.
Yeah.
Was wild rapey. Fucking, Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Revenge of the Nerds legit has a rape scene in it. Yeah.
One of the nerds wants to, like, try to seduce one of the popular girls.
Yeah.
So they're at like a costume party or some shit.
Like but I think it's also like a carnival because aren't they in like the moon bounce?
It's
or whatever?
Totally a carnival.
Yeah.
And the nerd dresses up, the popular girl's boyfriend is dressed up as Darth Vader.
Yeah.
The nerd also dresses up as Darth Vader, totally has sex with her in the moon bouncy house. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it's all good. It's funny. It's a laugh.
Yeah.
See how he got over and got to, like, sleep with this girl.
Nerds
like,
win. No.
Yeah, like that's literal rape.
Yeah,
it's literal non-consent.
Had, yeah, he had non-consensual sex with a woman, and they just was like, "Oh yeah. No, it's a win because he's a nerd."
To my credit as a kid, I saw that shit, and I was like,
I remember seeing it and being like, "That's weird."
Like that's not right.
Yeah,
that ain't right.
That's weird.
Yeah. The '80s was like full of shit like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like,
God damn,
there's a lot of it. Because I mean, in Back to the Future, he's legit like the bully's name?
Biff.
Biff.
Yeah.
He's like legit trying to hold her down in the wheel. Like,
right.
Like, no, dog. Like, that's not how we do this.
Wasn't Marty McFly's mom trying to smash him?
Yeah, Marty McFly's mom was trying to smash him. So there's incest in there too.
I would be so traumatized.
She was like, and then you come into the future. She's like, oh, you look handsome today. You're like, oh, mom.
Yeah, chill out. You gotta relax. Like, I told you that back in the day. Yeah,
exactly. She's like, you know what? The crazy thing is, because like, if you believe in like the eternal loop, that's already happened. So they named their son after the guy that she had the hots for.
Holy shit.
Before she got with the dad.
Holy shit. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so if you believe in like the actual loop of time that like, you know, we live in a flat circle as opposed to like, you know what I mean? We experiencing life as a circle all the time.
As opposed to like a linear line.
Yeah, as opposed to like linear line.
So if I go back in time and do a thing.
Like try to smash your mom or something like that. And then she names her kid John.
You really just like blew my mind right there.
Yeah, it's basically if like that, like those experiences are happening all the time. So jeez. Like him going back to telling that dude he could be mayor one day is the reason why that dude is
why
mayor,
he's mayor. Yeah. That you makes know what sense. I mean,
because he got inspired by saying so. Like he was always going to be mayor. He needed that spark to get that. So it's just a causality loop.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Fuck time travel, dog.
I'm good on time travel, dog.
I'm not with it.
Now I'm also like because. That idea that, like, you know, you step on a butterfly and then it affects the whole world and shit like that.
Any fucking thing can happen.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. I'm not with it.
Nah, I'm good. I don't want to fuck with time, dog.
Yeah. Just leave it as it is.
Yeah. I'm good with time.
Word.
So that's one of our major stances on this podcast. No time travel.
No time travel. Immediately. Yeah. We got to do, like, a 10-point program.
Yeah.
And no time travel has to be at the top of it.
Yeah, so the Panthers 10-point program.
Jesus.
No time travel is part of it. Free lunch is going to be part of it. Like,
absolutely. And universal health care / cryogenics.
Yeah.
Come on.
Definitely. You know what I mean? Well, once you got free health care, you know, you don't... Though, stress is a major killer, you know what I mean? So, like, the stress of medical bills...
Listen.
That's probably what kills you more than anything else.
Fucking relax. I was talking to... gentleman I had a meeting with yesterday, and we were talking about, we got on the subject of Bernie Sanders and universal health care, and I was saying, yo, if it weren't for public health care last year, I might have been out of here.
Yeah,
I might not have made it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? We can talk about that stuff now. We want to like give a little background.
Yeah, on why, you know, who we are, what you guys are listening to.
Yeah, some of the shit
we are as people. This is a soft reboot, you know what I mean?
A little bit, you know, just put the
tip. Y'all read the same fucking Spider-Man comic 900 times. Y'all can listen to the podcast and us tell the same story 900 times. Relax.
I love that your default is like hostility to the audience. You've legitimately, it's like 6 o'clock now.
Yeah, it's
you've
been a long day.
Yeah. This is like work.
Exactly. Like, no, like, it's not the fault. I'm just saying, because I can hear people like, listen, man, we've dealt with it for 3 years now. People are like, oh, you know, yeah, we love the show, but you know, if you guys did this, we're not gonna do that. It's our show.
Fuck that.
Like, no one's gonna boss me around.
Who is David Bowie? Well, that depends on who you ask. Or which record you play. To some, he's Ziggy Stardust. To others, the Thin White Duke. Or Major Tom. But who is David Bowie really? To answer that question, we'll have to go off the record. My name is Jordan Runtog, and I'm the host of Off the Record, a new music biography podcast from iHeartRadio. Off the Record goes beyond the songs and into the hearts and minds of rock's greatest legends. Every season profiles one classic artist, taking listeners on a wild ride through their extraordinary career. The first season examines the life, or rather lives, of David Bowie. Each episode of the 11-part audio event tells the story of one of his iconic personas. Together, these faces form an intimate portrait of one of the 20th century's most influential figures. So who was David Bowie? Tune in to Off the Record to find out. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Here's a rap-related strip club story. One time, me and Josh were in... Maybe you were there. You, I feel like you were there. Because either I would go with you or me and my man, would go. I feel like this was a me and you excursion. We went to the famous Night on Broadway.
Yes, rest in peace.
Rest in peace to Night on Broadway. The most, you know, late night shootings.
Most amazing place on the planet.
That have happened in this
Mecca
club. Shout out to Night on Broadway. This is a rap story. One night we were a Night on Broadway, and I was like legit like dancer. I'm gonna edit that out. And I turn my head and I look, who else is standing next to me slapping ass? None other than Philadelphia Freeway. Come on.
It was a place that brought everyone together.
Everyone together.
Yeah. I got kicked in the face by a stripper's heel there one time. she was on stage, like, you know, they had the stage and had like the, like, we could fit like three women up on the stage. It was, I mean, it literally was like 3 inches above where like the floor was, but right. It was the stage, and they used to have railings on there, so the chicks would get up there and do all types of crazy stuff on the railing. And the one chick like did that and then tried to do like a flip around.
Oh,
you came and like caught me straight across the grill, dog.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I still got a little bump there, but I take that as like, that's a mark of honor, dog. I got injured in the line of duty.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I take that as a mark of honor. I'm
that's
good.
A war scar.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I remember one time we were there and I was with my man, and it was dead. Like we had came like early.
Yeah,
a square. He's not like.
He doesn't
want to
be there at like 4 a.m.
He's not like a night person like we are. So we went, we came like dumb early. You know, dumb early in the strip club, the dancers are there, but they're not really patrons there. So they're really trying to like get you.
Yeah, you're the only three people in there. So they really want that $10.
They're like in your face about a tip. And he's not a veteran of the strip club. When it's like your first time, we talking about hood strip clubs. We not talking about the strip clubs where like the white women swing hair around.
No one's pouring sugar on anybody.
No, she's my cherry pie.
That's not
like,
happening.
And
there's no time for fake ones.
Come on,
just sips of Cristal with these real ones. That's what was getting played.
Come on, come on. The dancer comes over and she asked me like, "Yo, you want to dance?" I was like, "Nah, I'm cool." And she's like pressing me a little bit. I'm like, "Nah, I'm cool. I don't want to dance." So she walks over to and she's like, she can like smell blood in the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, dog. They know. They've been doing it. If they did it for a while.
So she roll over to my man and she's like, "Yo, you want to dance?" And he's like, "Nah, you know, I'm not interested." But he kind of like shy about it. "Nah, I don't want to dance." And she's like, "I don't understand. What's up with y'all broke ass niggas? Y'all come up in here. Y'all want to dance. Y'all want to spend no money. What the fuck?" She hauled off and slapped
shit.
She slapped the shit out of my man. And I'm sitting there like, she slapped him. His glasses flew off his face onto the dance floor. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck you hit him for? And she's like, fuck y'all niggas. Y'all don't want to spend no money. And he like got up and he went and like got his glasses, like put his glasses back on. I was like, this is horrible. It's fucked up. But that's what we, you know, that's what we gave, or that's what we went through to be able to see the finest titties and ass in the Delaware Valley area.
Yeah. For those, like, for those who don't know, aren't in Philly and shit, Night on Broadway was an after hours. So all the chicks would come from other strip clubs that closed at 2, because Philly's lame and closes at 2 in the morning.
Right.
They, all the girls from other strip clubs would come from other strip clubs or come from a bar. Maybe they was out just bar hopping with their friends.
Yeah.
And they come and dance. So they would come there for the after hour.
Right.
And, you know, you couldn't drink in there. You had to, like, it was BYOB. And, like, sometimes they would sell, like, some fish platters out of there or something like that.
They would sell fish platters. They would have, like, the table with, like, the porno videos where you walked in, niggas be selling their mixtapes and shit.
Yeah, you go, listen, Jesus. It was a one-stop shop. You go in there, see some titties.
Yeah.
You grab some porn because you was going home by yourself. And
you not always.
Yeah, well. And then you grab the best of Beanie Siegel.
Listen, come on.
And then, like, you went about your night. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's where I did get my best of Beanie Siegel.
You get the best Cosmic Kev, best of Beanie Siegel tape. You could get...
get you a Touchtone. Not a Touchtone. Tony Touch joint.
Tony, like, Touch tape. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Get, like, a bootleg of Barbershop.
Yeah.
Like, Barbershop 1.
I got a bootleg of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, that first Spider-Man movie that came out like 2000. I got one in there.
I got one better, and I'm going to edit this out. I definitely bought a... Can't keep that in, but...
No.
It's, we was young, you know what I'm saying?
We was young and dumb.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was one-stop shopping, man. Like, it's a sad world. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know they're opening Vanity Grand back up.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Sin City now, though.
Ooh.
Sin with two N's.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Double the cent.
Yes. But they have one open now. Like, it's called Club Vanity right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like a hookah bar type place.
Oh, shit. I niggas gotta stop smoking hookah, yo.
Yeah, I don't understand. Stop smoking, like, I don't that understand shit. That whole wave of hookah. Like, it's cool, whatever. Like, I've done it, but it's just like... Yeah.
It smell like you burning the Yellow Pages. Like, niggas gotta stop smoking that shit.
I don't see the appeal to do it all the time. I know motherfuckers would be fiending to do that shit.
Yo, we got to go to the spot, get the hookah.
Yeah. I know motherfuckers who own hookahs. Like, you know what I mean? Just be in the crib smoking a hookah.
Nah.
I'm like, nah. I don't, but I'm also not, like, I'm not a drinker in the crib really either. Like, yeah, I'm a person who does shit like that socially.
Right.
Like, right. I'll go out, you know what I mean, sniff a couple lines of coke or something.
You gotta stop.
No, but like, I'll go out, have a drink out while I'm out. You know what I mean? I'll be like, makes sense. Somebody got the hookah. Oh, you got an extra joint, a little mouthpiece joint. I'll smoke a little bit.
Right.
I'm not going to be in the crib like, yo, I'm just lighting this hookah while I sit in the crib and watch the Sixers game. Like,
yeah. Nah, I'm not doing that shit. Nah. Like a fucking oil baron. Sitting around the crib.
Sitting around like Jabba the Hutt. Like,
smoking,
you know what I mean?
Opium.
Blowing a hookah. You know what I mean? Nah. Like, nah, I'm good, dog. I'm not big on that. I don't get that wave of, like, and there's just like hookah lounges where, like, motherfuckers just go in and blow hookah.
Yeah.
Like,
ain't no
Morocco.
Tree. Yeah.
Like, right.
There's no tree involved.
No.
Y'all niggas not really drinking like that.
You don't get high. Like, I guess it probably gives you a little buzz.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but you ain't really getting high.
And that's how getting a buzz from hookah is like when you was a young boy, you would smoke a Black and Mild and inhale it.
Yeah.
And your shit get all like, you get all loopy. That's like brain damage.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
sniffing a marker. Like, you know what I mean?
Yo, nah.
It ain't really, you know, you're really getting on.
Nah.
Like, if I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna like swallow four gummies and melt into my chair. Like, you know what I mean?
You gonna melt into more than that. Swallow four gummies. Shit.
Nah, the last ones I got wasn't that strong.
Really?
Yeah.
The THC.
Yeah, they THC. They just wasn't that. I don't think they're as regulated as the ones I had before were fucking like medical grade. They were like cancer patients, like cancer patients that are dying.
Yeah.
That's the ones I have
the
before.
Shit, they want you to ride the wave into heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
Like proper.
Yeah. I was eating those and like melting. Like these are like they give you a little like a little buzz, but they not like that. They still better than hookah though.
Yeah, fuck hookah. Fuck like on principle.
Yeah.
Real shit, like the THC and like CBD shit is about to be so trash. If it's not already trash. Mm-hmm. We were down, my partner and I were in like Center City, Philly. I think we were like going to like a comedy show or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But we were down there. We may have even been like window shopping. And every single like business down there was advertising like CBD something. Yep. It was like CBD smoothies, CBD and Red Bull, CBD massage, CBD everything.
Opposite of like, CBD is supposed to calm you down, make you feel good. Red Bull, get your heart pumping at like 900 miles an hour.
That shit, like, it was everywhere. And I'm looking around, I'm like,
It's like ripping a line of coke and then like, then snorting a line of heroin right after. Like,
you know what I mean? Jesus.
Like, so your body's like, yo, figure out what you want me to do. Like,
though, I got coke and perks. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Does it make any sense? Now, that shit, but really, it was like, I went in one of the spots and got like a CBD smoothie.
Uh-huh.
And like, it was cool, but it wasn't really.
I know you had that beer. We went to that wedding this.
This
summer, you had that beer that had CBD in it. You said you felt it like.
Yeah.
That wash over your body.
It was a nice little wave, that beer. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, a lot of it, like, dog, I was in the mall. It's Christmas season, so I was in a mall shopping and shit, and there was like just a setup in like Franklin Mills Mall for CBD.
That is so crazy to me.
And I'm like,
that's so crazy. Just in the mall,
dog, in a middle court area where Santa is.
People, grandmas out there and shit.
Yeah, like Santa was right there, and then right across from there was like they were selling CBD infused chocolates.
That's crazy,
dog. Oh, I stopped at this other mall, and listen, man. Oh, you know, we don't discriminate on this podcast or whatever, but these motherfuckers had dogs that they was bringing to come see Santa Claus. And I ain't talking like one person, okay? I'm talking there was a line of people with their dogs to come see Santa.
Wait. These were black people?
I'm not going to say what race they were. They weren't black. But I'm not going to say what race they
were. Fucking no, they weren't black. It's absolutely white people that did this.
They legit was a line of people to come, like, give their dog, get their pictures with their dog with Santa. I don't get pictures with my kids with Santa anymore.
Let alone a fucking dog.
Let alone a dog. Dog, they expensive as shit, too. Like, it's not cheap to get your picture with Santa. Like,
nah,
it's like 20 some dollars.
It ain't like the 80s where you, like, get that nigga, like, a 50 cent piece.
Yeah.
Nah.
Dog, it's like 20 some dollars.
Did the
like,
dogs?
I legit, the last couple times my kids have went, I, like, stood on to the cut. With my phone out, and they took a picture on my cell phone. And was like, "Yo, we don't need the picture. We gone."
Just tell your kid, like, "Yo, go see. Yeah. Just go say hi to Santa. Stand next to him. Take a little
catty
flick.
Corner, so we can get this picture." No, I'm not.
Santa, like, no free pics. Santa doing walkthroughs in the club.
Yeah,
taking selfies.
No, they're like. I'm legit staring at these people with their dogs. And then their dogs is like barking at each other and stuff. I'm like, how is this okay in a public space, man?
Dog, this dude, we were in Walgreens, like the pharmacy / you know, convenience store. And homeboy just had a straight up dog in the line. This big husky fucking dog. So I'm looking to see if he got like the little jacket on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't be disrespectful. If he got the jacket on, then it's cool. This nigga ain't had no jacket on. He just like chilling, a raw dog. And the dog starts wilding out and barking at people, kids. It was like a group of kids over there. They were like little kids. And the dog is freaking the fuck out. So this lady, you know, there's nobody in public who will correct you faster than an older black woman.
Mm-hmm.
This sister was in line in front of me and she's just like, oh no, he in here with this dog. Like, you know what I mean? And we're all like taken aback. Like, yeah, my nigga, why do you have this dog just hanging out in Walgreens? Take the damn dog home.
I never understand that shit. Like, I've gone past like restaurants that has like the outside seating and shit like that in the city. And it'll be a dude like and his lady sitting there eating, and their dog is like
the dog's at their feet, under the table,
yeah, with like a bowl of food and water. Like, man, yo, they have a crib. Leave him in the crib.
That dog don't want to go on a date with y'all. He like a third wheel.
Yeah, he feeling awkward and shit. His lipstick all out or something like that. He can't do nothing with it. You know what I mean?
You mean his dick? His lipstick.
You ain't never heard that before?
No.
Yeah, like it looks like lipstick when you like roll it up.
Yo.
I mean, just laid under the table with gat out. Like, they feeling on each other's legs, but if I hump on a leg, I'm wrong.
Yeah, something different. Yo, we went to this brunch spot in Northern Liberties. Mm-hmm. Folks don't know, you know, folks who aren't from Philly, Northern Liberties is like a gentrified part of Philly.
It used to be the poor white area.
Part
of the poor white area.
Yeah, it used to be where niggas used to go like cop heroin. Yes. That whole expanse of like Northern Philadelphia, that's like Frankfort, Kensington, Port Richmond, Northern Liberties, that shit all was like the heroin capital. It's still kind of the heroin capital.
Kensington is the heroin capital of like the East Coast.
Yeah, it's like more concentrated in like specific areas of Kensington now. But we went to Northern Liberties to this brunch spot, and I swear to God, dog, we like ordered our food and drinks, and a family of not black people came up, and they had, you know, they big ass fucking dog with them. I swear to God, the waiter brought the damn dog a bowl of water before he brought us our drinks. I was like, this shit. I was like, I don't know if this is like love for dogs or racism
or both.
A fucking mixture of both.
Why be one thing when you could be both, yo?
Jesus. I was so taken aback. I was like, damn. I'm like.
Like, do they have just bowls? Because here's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. Do you have bowls specifically for people when they bring their dog? Because if not, I want to know. I'll never eat there because I don't want you using the same bowl the you dog fed bowl. A dog with.
Oh, no. That shit, I looked at it. It was like one of the like stainless steel. It was literally like a dog's water bowl.
Because I'm not.
They just got them shit sitting in the back.
I love my dogs, right? I have two dogs. I love them to death.
Right.
I don't. Like, I want to throw the spoon away after I give them their dog food.
Just toss it.
Yeah, I'm like, I just throw this away now.
Toss this shit out the window.
I don't want to use the sponge that I use to clean the rest of my dishes to clean dog food. Like, I'm sorry.
Dog. So, last year, my partner and I, we lived in a house. We had a roommate in West Philly, and homeboy had a cat. Mm-hmm. So, one day, I come downstairs. I never use the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Right, I'm like a hand.
Yeah, I don't like dishwashers either. I use my hands.
I'm a hand dishwashing kind of person. So for whatever reason, I may have been like looking for like utensils or whatever. So I open the dishwasher that we all share in this house. I swear to God, this motherfucker took his cat's litter box as opposed to taking it out back and washing it down.
Yeah, with like a hose or something.
Like a normal fucking human being, hot water, soap, and a hose. This motherfucker put the cat's litter box in the dishwasher that we share.
I hope y'all jazzed him like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and just like shoved it through his ass. Dog, I would have lost it.
When I say I could have killed this nigga, his mother, we see slow singing and flower bringing. I had his mother in a black dress. I could have murdered this dude. So I call him downstairs. I'm like, yo, did you put the fucking cat litter box in the dishwasher? He's like, why, dude? Like, is what's wrong with that?
Because fucking cat shit, dog. Like, yo, you realize, like, cats have that, what is it, trichinosis or whatever the hell that shit is?
The fuck is that?
They like, cat shit has, like, this shit that'll fuck you up.
Oh, no.
Like, give you seizures and all that shit. It'll fuck you up. It's really bad for, like, older people and for young kids.
What?
Yeah.
Nah, I did not know that.
Yeah,
at all.
I forget what it's called. I think trichinosis is the shit that's in turkeys. So I don't think that's it.
I thought you was going to say like trichinology or something. I was like, I did.
Being cats is, you know what I mean, gateway to the underworld. You know what I mean? We just, we not going to go all into that.
Nah, y'all not ready for that. That's episode two. Yeah, y'all not exactly ready for that.
No, but yeah, I forget what it's called. I forget what it's called, but there is some shit that's like...
it ain't good for you.
No, it fucks you up. Like, you're not supposed to be... Like, cat shit is not supposed to be anywhere near where you eat food at.
Right. I did not know that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I could have gathered. But yeah, I was like livid at this dude, and he did not understand. He was kind of like spacey. He was just like, I mean... You know, it's clean. I cleaned it. It's in the dishwasher. It's clean.
I was like, no, dog. Like, yo, your dishwasher's not meant to dispose of kitty litter either.
Right.
Like, I don't care if you dumped it all out. You know, there'll still be like stuck in the corners and shit like that.
A dishwasher can't even handle curry.
Yeah. What the
fuck? Like, it's supposed to handle fucking cat shit.
Dog, I gotta pre-wash like the ketchup off my plate. Why do I like
this shit, dog? If I go to work and leave, I don't know, some fucking red sauce and spaghetti in a goddamn plastic container, the container's done,
dog.
You mean to tell me
one of my plastic containers at the crib is red? Like,
fucking done, because I wanted to have fucking spaghetti.
Yeah,
for
every
lunch.
One of my containers at the crib is red, dog. It's like. Well, you know, it just is what it is. Like, what do you want me to do? No, I'm not. Yo, I legit, he'd have got his ass jazzed about the crib, dog.
I wanted to burn the whole house down. Like fucking Carrie. Yeah. Just burn the whole crib down, dog.
Like you said, I don't use my dishwasher. I got a dishwasher at the crib. I keep pots and pans in it.
Yeah.
Like, and I just, like, keep them in there because I don't got a lot of storage. So right, I use that as storage.
A perfectly rational way to use a dishwasher.
You know what I would never leave in there? A goddamn kitty. Like, I don't care if it was, I don't wash or nothing in there. Yo.
Yeah.
It's still, like, that shit's not supposed to, excuse me, that shit's not supposed to be there.
Yeah. That's what, roommates are the worst, so. That shit, I'm glad we're, like, off that wave. My partner and I have, like, our own apartment and shit. I'm off that shit, yo. Because, like, living with other niggas is terrible.
It was the worst, yo.
I could take living with somebody that I know and love.
Yeah, yeah.
Some random motherfucker.
And, I mean, listen.
You met a nigga off a Facebook group? Nah.
Anybody who's in a relationship will tell you living with somebody when you love each other can be difficult enough.
A motherfucking challenge.
Like, living with people I do not like or do not really know?
Nah. 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 What's keeping me from killing you in your sleep?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Fear of being caught.
That's the thing. That's jail,
you know,
yo.
You crush up. You do a little out of BC shit. You crush up the glass. You know what I mean? Real fine. You sprinkle it in their food a little bit.
Yo.
Takes time. They never going to catch that.
I remember we were, this is years ago, we were at my grandma's house on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Thanksgiving, they show Roots on BET. Because I think that's when it premiered, like back in the 80s or whatever. And we were watching Roots, and it's like me, all my aunts and my uncles, my mom, my grandmom, and all the little kids, like the generation under us. And we're watching it, and I'm explaining to the kids, like, yeah, yo, back in the day when we was on a plantation and we wanted to kill Massa, we would take like a little thing of glass,
break it up
real fine, and then put it in Massa's soup. And then, you know, at the time when he eating it, it eventually like cut his stomach up and kill him. My aunties and uncles and them was so upset to be telling them kids. Don't tell them kids that. Why wouldn't they want to know that?
Yeah, it's good important to know.
Come on.
It's Trump in office right now. It's like, you know what I mean? We may need this information.
We may need tactics. Definitely edited that shit out.
No, listen, you know what I mean? Nah, listen, that's good knowledge for a kid to know.
That's fucking strategy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You never know somebody going to end up, you know, God forbid, one of them kids end up in a crazy abusive relationship, scared to leave.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do. My mom's saying when I was a kid, she said, the burning bed is a real story.
Mm.
I guess it was a movie called The Burning Bed.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
The John, like, set her husband, that he was sleeping in bed and set the bed on fire. Like, that was always her theory as when she was like, listen, the burning bed is a real thing. Before I let somebody beat on me,
yep,
I will burn that motherfucker alive.
Take you out.
So, like, yeah. I mean, like, I grew up with the idea of, like, yeah, sometimes you just got to kill folk, man. Like, it is what it is.
Listen.
You know what I mean? Like, violence. It's an acceptable answer sometimes.
The whole story of human history revolves around violence.
Yeah.
Love, compassion, all of those things, also violence.
Listen, sometimes the boy from the other tribe, that tribe has gorgeous women. Sometimes you gotta go kill all the men in the tribe and take over.
Jesus. That's like the whole story of like white folks.
Yeah.
They were looking over, just like looking over the river at somebody. It's like, oh man, they like growing crops over there, yo.
You mean they didn't pollute their water over there? We might have to go there.
Yeah, take them out. Oh man, they got like a plumbing system, like a prehistoric.
What's that shit they put on their food? Seasoning. I don't know what that is. Man, they seem to be enjoying it.
The niggas got pepper. They got cilantro. We finna ride out.
What is that? It's this white substance they're just sprinkling on their food.
Yo.
I don't know. Pass me that boiled potato.
Shh, dog. The worst shit is when they do. Shout out to everybody England. Shout out to the folks in Europe.
It's terrible, yo.
The illest shit is when they do like the cooking shows and then they go to England and they're trying to make that. It's like a sloshy. They take we took a potato and then another potato and then we poured milk in it and we sloshed it around and there's some ketchup on the side and they try to like cap that up like it's like fine British cuisine. Yeah. Like, nah, dog.
It's garbage.
When we go to Europe, we going everywhere where like the brown people are. We going everywhere where like the Jamaicans are.
Listen, dog, they like, motherfuckers in England have said it. Like, listen, you either let immigrants in this country or our food is terrible.
Come on.
Like, yo, you think when you talk about, like, when people talk about, like, English restaurants, like, places people go in England to eat, they're all, like, Indian or Jamaican places.
Right.
No one's over there like, oh, let's go to, like, the best, I mean, I don't know. Shout out to England. Invite us over as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But, like,
corned beef hash.
Yeah.
And a fried loaf of bread.
Like, yeah, and then, like, y'all got your cousins to the north, like, the Irish and the Scottish.
Yeah,
they, like,
yeah.
They eat, like, sheep. Like, they put, like, stuff in sheep bellies and shit like that. I don't know. Listen, man. Y'all got, like, blood sausage and shit?
Nah.
Blood pudding?
Not eating that shit.
Nope.
Blood milkshake? Nah. It's not happening.
Get some bangers and mash.
Yeah. What are bangers and mash?
Bangers are sausages and mash is mashed potato.
Oh, okay. What? Are there no like vegetables in Europe?
I guess not.
How are all of y'all? How
starch, that's a lot of starch, dog.
How are all white folks in North America vegan? All the white folks in like the UK, all they eat is like starch and meat.
Yeah.
How's
and
that
drink at like 15 years old.
Come on.
Listen, sorry. Listen, again. My knowledge of England is essentially Top Boy and in-betweeners. So, I mean...
Yeah, mine is like UK rap.
Yeah.
Like London Posse.
Yeah.
That's all I know about England.
Yeah, so, you know, if the Smoke Boys ain't talking about it, I don't know what to tell you.
And what's the shit?
There's a hip-hop reference for you guys who now complaining because we've been talking for 20 minutes and didn't mention a rapper.
There you go again with default hostility. I love it.
Long days, man. Like
Jesus. I was going to make a joke about the movie Trainspotting, but we don't need
that. I've never seen Trainspotting.
Are you serious?
Nah, and I know it's great and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, no, it's awful. It's not great.
Yeah, I heard it's like, it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's considered like a critically acclaimed movie.
It's extremely hard to watch.
It's
and
a horrible
watching people
movie.
Go through like drug withdrawal or like drug addiction isn't appealing to me to sit and watch.
Yeah.
So like, that's why I haven't ever watched it.
Do you mind spoilers?
Nah, I don't give a shit.
Dog. So there's a scene where homeboy is like going through withdrawal and shit. He's, I think, in his parents' house, but he's on the bed and he's like freaking out. There was a baby when he was like all strung out on the drugs and shit. I think his girlfriend or like one of his homegirls, her baby dies.
So later, when he's in the crib and like going through like the heroin withdrawals, he looks up at the ceiling and the baby is crawling. The dead baby is crawling on the ceiling.
Why would I subject myself to watching that?
Yeah. That's just the worst. And that's like the scene that most people, because the baby's head like swivels around, yeah, like the Exorcist and shit. It's terrible. That's the thing that most people like reference. The worst shit for me, and it goes back to what I said about the being incapacitated thing earlier. There's one scene where homeboy shoots up and they're playing Lou Reed's song, Perfect Day. Uh-huh. So Lou Reed is like, it's such a perfect day. And homeboy's like sinking into the heroin high, and he sinks into the fucking floor. Like you see from his perspective, yeah, and he sinks into the
Boyle
floor.
Movie, right?
I don't fucking know.
I think so.
Who made that?
I think it's a Danny
nonsense.
Boyle movie.
It's terrible. It's so bad.
What do explorers, an Army officer, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole, but only one of them made it. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and host of the new podcast, The Quest for the North Pole, which dives into the centuries-long race to explore the Arctic, find the Northwest Passage, and conquer the top of the world. With a cast of daring adventurers and some pretty determined amateurs, the race to the pole reveals the human desire to solve mysteries of geography and the soul. We'll look at the important Arctic expeditions that filled the blank spaces on the map and recognize how indigenous people made them successful. We'll examine what pushed explorers to venture ever farther into the unknown and uncharted, and how the climate crisis is changing the Arctic today. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, and It Could Happen Here. And boy, it does seem to be happening here. I'm going to guess most of the people listening to this are deeply concerned with what they saw happen in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And I'm here to tell you it was a fascist insurrection, an attempt by fascists to take over our democracy. And it didn't happen in a historical vacuum. There have been numerous attempts, many of them successful, by fascist movements to take over democracies over the last century. In order to protect yourself, in order to protect your family and your very freedom, you need to understand this history and the history of the different anti-fascist movements that have fought, sometimes successfully, often unsuccessfully, to stop the same things from happening in their own countries. The knowledge of this history is important, and it's maybe the only thing that can save us. So, if you're as concerned as I am, listen to Behind the Insurrections on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dog, you know what's a dope movie about heroin like that and has a rapper in it? So shut up. Is Gridlock with Pac, Sandy Newton, and Tim Roth. That's actually a terrific movie.
Tim Roth is a good actor.
Yeah, really good.
I love Sandy Newton, and obviously I love Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Gridlock was really good. Yeah,
really good.
It surprised me. I didn't know what it was going to be.
I have a hard time watching. I don't love needles, so like... Mm-hmm. If I have to get blood, like, if anybody knows I'm covered in tattoos, so like the idea of like, oh, I don't like needles, blah blah blah, is funny, but I actually really don't, and I don't like watching people like have to get a needle or get like have to give blood,
right?
So like it really bothers me to watch somebody like shoot up heroin in a show, because right, like to watch somebody like put a needle into their, like that gives me like anxiety, like watching somebody put a needle in their body.
Absolutely.
So, but I loved Gridlock.
Like, Gridlock was such a good movie.
I remember when I remember watching it. It was one of those joints where I had it on like VHS or whatever, and like I would put that shit on all the time.
Yeah, that's how I was with Baby Boy.
Yeah,
back in the days, watching Baby Boy all over.
You gotta watch that all the time.
We gotta our next. Usually, for folks who don't know, we do live events.
Yeah.
We do serious rap shit, live parties, and we do a movie party. Like, there's always, like, a movie element to it. So, we'll, you know, folks will come in, the DJ's playing, we're, like, talking shit and, like, mingling or whatever. Then we all sit down, we drink, or maybe, like, eat some popcorn or some shit. We watch a movie, and then Josh and I will do a live podcast talking shit about
the movie afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Our next joint gotta be Baby Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, our next one, we have a holiday party.
By the time you hear this, the holiday party will be over.
It already have happened. But we're screening Trading Places, the Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd movie.
That has no problems. It's not problematic
it's
at all.
Not problem. No blackface.
No.
No out of pocket words. None of that.
No. It's
and sis that I like is in it. Fucking
the John from Halloween.
From Halloween.
Yeah.
Jeez, I can't think
of
it.
She does like, what you call commercials?
The Dookie
choice. Yogurt commercials and shit.
the regularity commercials.
Gotta make sure she shits right.
Fuck, why can't I think of her name? She was in
Halloween.
True Lies. True Lies. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Thank you. Thank you for the assist.
Shout out to Lissa. This is Jamie Lee Curtis. I love Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, I think she's a really talented actress.
Hell yeah.
She's really good in True Lies, like funny. Like she's really funny in True Lies. She's really good in I just saw Knives Out, which is like a murder mystery movie.
I've never seen that.
It just came out. I just saw it on in the theaters. It's really good. And she's good in it. She's really a talented. She's great in she's like the original Scream Queen. She's really good. I like her a lot. She's great in that. She's great in Trading Places. The butler is the perfect deadpan straight man in there. Like, it's excellent. It's really, really good.
Classic fucking movie. Classic Philly movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Yeah. I love the beginning where he's like rolling around.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like they pick him up and his legs like drop out.
Come out, yeah.
Fucking amazing. Dude, the movie is so good.
Eddie Murphy's the shit, yo. I'm glad to see him like back.
Yes.
You know, in the mix and shit.
Yeah, definitely.
I want him to do all the movies, all the stand-up specials.
Yeah, like, supposedly Beverly Hills Cop 4 got greenlit for Netflix. It's a
That's
Netflix
crazy.
Movie. Listen, if it's done well, it could be great.
Yeah.
Three was done as a joke. Where the first two like have jokes in them, but they're serious cop movies.
Right, right, right.
Three was like, oh, this is just a joke. We're just gonna make fun of this the whole
time. Yeah, yeah.
It was like a parody of the originals.
Right, right.
So if they do that, like, and see, like, Netflix can do it R, and you don't have to worry about like, oh, you know, we're not gonna get a bunch of kids in here to see this. Like, no, like my son will sit and watch it if he wants to.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Dog, my son told me he thinks Juice and Paid in Full are the best two movies ever made.
What? How old is your son, for folks who don't know? 18
years old.
What? Both of those movies are older than him.
Yeah, like, Juice definitely is, and Paid in Full is maybe not older than him, but he was probably only about 3 when that movie originally came out.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, he's he loves both of them movies, though.
I loved, like, movies that were, like, older than me or were, like, my age.
Listen, Beverly Hills Cop's probably my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you were little when that came out.
Yeah, I may have been, like, 3 or something, like 2 or 3 when that movie originally came out. And I saw it I probably saw it when I was, like, 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6-year-old watching the John and their shake of titties and shit when they go to the strip club. But like, I loved all the Terminator is probably like 84 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I was like 3 when that movie came out.
Yeah.
I loved all that shit. So yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, and I think he likes the 80s aesthetic, drug dealer aesthetic that you get like in like early 90s that you get with like Juice.
Early 90s, there's so much. Fashion-wise, musically, and just like aesthetically, from the early 90s, that kids his age,
especially hairstyles and all that shit,
and like older, you know, kind of pull from.
They're it's not super baggy era clothes,
right?
So like, you know, they don't dress super baggy, so like that fits more in the aesthetic. Like, you know, you watch fucking Menace to Society, Old Dog's t-shirt is like 5 times the size of he is.
Right.
So, and that wasn't even like jersey dress like era. Like, you know what I mean? We're talking like he was just wearing a big white t-shirt.
Right, right.
So, also, I think they're very New York and very East Coast.
Yeah.
So, like, we grew up, like, we had, of course, we had like Juice and all that shit, but like the big like hood movies where all West Coast shit was all Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, shit like that.
The West Coast really, when you and I were growing up, really dominated like the pop culture landscape. So much so, I remember the episode of A Different World when it was like the gun violence episode and they had Criss Cross on there and they were legit like gangbangers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That whole West Coast.
And Hillman was supposed to be like in D.C. or something like that.
Right. It's definitely like an East Coast school. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like that whole.
Bill and them used to drive to it. Like, you know what I mean?
From Philly or from
Brooklyn.
So there was so much. And that was a thing in like a lot of black sitcoms at the time. Anytime they wanted to really like depict a thug, he was like a West Coast, like, cuz, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, whoop, whoop, whoop. You know what I mean? So, like, that West Coast aesthetic really dominated, you know, like the pop culture consciousness in the early 90s.
And I think, too, you know, you started to have like black directors come out and they were like, listen, you were, you know, Singleton, John Singleton, rest in peace. What's the brothers that the Hughes,
Hughes brothers? Yeah.
Hughes brothers. They were all West Coast dudes. They grew up in Cali, and so they went to like USC film school and shit like that. So like, of course, they're telling the stories that they know of. Like they're not gonna be like, oh, let's go to the East Coast and tell a story that we don't understand. Like,
right. We got that from Spike Lee and like the cat that did Straight Outta Brooklyn. His name is like escaping me right now.
Yeah,
you did New Jersey Drive.
Yeah, so we got. But like when we were real young, like the West Coast was running it. Like,
oh yeah,
and that's also when like because G-Funk and shit like that blew the fuck up.
Snoop, the Chronic, all of that. Yeah,
so like that was like the biggest thing in the world. So like naturally, Hollywood like glommed onto like that kind of aesthetic. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But yeah, he was like, it was funny because he just told me that the other day we were like running lines from Paid in Full. So
that's so wild to me.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. It's cool. Like, it's one of the dope things about being a dad, like being able to do those kind of things with your kids.
Yeah.
Like, and being able to relate to that kind of stuff. Cause, like, you know, my mom ain't going to be able to relate. Like, she wasn't, especially not at 18, was she watching anything I watched.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but for him, and because of like, we live in an era of like catalog shit with like Netflix and Hulu and shit like that.
You can find everything.
Yeah. He can just go on there and watch a movie from before. Like, they just put Malcolm X on there.
I saw.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to have him sit down because I don't know if he's ever sat and watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit down with him and then like point out all the historical inaccuracies.
Shout out to Spike Lee, yo.
Like, yeah, you know what? Shorty, not a real character.
Not a real guy. Not at all.
But I also haven't watched Malcolm X in forever.
I go back to it a lot.
Really? I haven't watched it in a long time.
I go back to Spike's early run. She's Gotta Have It, Do the Right Thing, Mo' Better Blues, Malcolm X. His early run, I go back to a lot.
Yeah.
It feeds like an aesthetic quality that I like the way that it actually looks and like the scores and all of that stuff. But then also it feeds like some kind of like nostalgic need in me. You know what I mean? Like the early 90s were not the most pleasant time for me and my family. My father got killed in 1989. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like a peaches and creamy kind of time. There was like a lot of like drug shit around and like violent shit around. But it was also like a real fun, colorful time for me. So it's something that Spike Lee and Spike Lee's films kind of epitomize that era to me in my imagination.
Yeah.
So I go back to that shit a lot.
Yeah, I remember for a while like really disliking a lot of Spike Lee stuff because it's so film school-y.
Like, ooh, yeah.
The style of how he shoots his movies. That is not a critique of him now. As a more grown, understanding professional of like how things work, that was a specific thing he was going for, a style he was going for. I remember watching it as a kid. Like, I love Do the Right Thing and shit. But then, like, I remember watching other movies and going, like, well, why isn't it clean like this?
Right, right.
And going, like, well, he's just not good enough. He's not as good as other people because his movies are. Because even if you pick a pair, like, Spike Lee to Singleton's movies. Mm-hmm. Like, the Singletons are very clean. He's more traditional in the sense of, like, how to make clean movies.
Yeah.
Right? How to make...
You mean, like, visually? Or
visually, not as, like, I think visually, certain camera stuff that he did. But now as I'm older and I can go back and I look, you can see Spike's influence on Singleton and the Hughes brothers and certain camera techniques that they use, way they shot monologues and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't appreciate some of Spike's complete decisions of like the long take of the mm-hmm. camera where like it's like almost like Malcolm's a floating head.
Yeah, yeah.
Like now I love it. I love that aesthetic. I love how that looks.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I remember watching that and going like, well, these other movies don't do that.
Right.
And like me trying to be in the idea of like falling into that lane of like, well, this is how it's supposed to look.
Right.
You know what I mean? But now I appreciate more when people do. So it goes into like, you know, me and you loved Saphir when we were kids. Yeah. I despised Saphir when we were kids because his rhyme style was like so choppy and like different.
Oakland rapper Saphir.
Yes.
Who famously beefed with Souls of Mischief and the Hieroglyphics crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Hobo Junction.
He's like one of my favorite MCs.
And I despised him when we were kids.
Yeah.
I
like shit that's like avant-garde and it's like intentionally weird.
Yeah, and I didn't. I
rock with that shit.
I like stuff that was way more like mainstream. And so in the sense of like stylistically.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now as an adult, I go, oh, that his style is distinctly his.
Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely. Like that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Where like Spike shit, like I love I even love a lot of some of his older stuff. Like Inside Man, I think is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
25th Hour, I think, is some of the most visually stunning shit I've ever seen on camera.
25th Hour is so good. It's like a perfect movie.
It's so great visually. I can watch it without the sound on.
Mm-hmm.
And just admire how beautiful it is.
It feels like a poem, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film.
It's so beautifully shot in the sense of like mood. Like when he wants you to feel a certain way, he makes that texturally on film.
This is interesting that you say that because this scene kind of pops in my head. There's a scene when the friend who's... Jeez, what is the guy's name who overdosed?
Philip Seymour Hoffman
comes into the apartment and he's talking with their homie who's like a day trader or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like talking about like, yeah, yo, we gotta make this. It's gotta be like one good night, last good night for Ed Norton. You know what I mean? He going away to jail or whatever.
10 years or something like that, I think it was.
Something like that, yeah. Day. He's going to like Otisville.
Yeah.
And homeboy is looking out of his, he is like a Manhattan apartment, he's a fucking Wall Street guy, and he looks out and you see Ground Zero and that swell. I think Terrence Blanchard, his score, it like wells up.
Yep.
And it's just like, it's like a haunting fucking moment as you look out and see like the debris of Ground Zero outside this dude's apartment.
They shot it like right after. It was not too long after that.
They said it was the first major film
shot
you know, in New York after 9/11.
When he's supposed to be in that office, the back, like when he first goes see those Russian mob dudes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's tense. It is a tense.
Homeboy's
scene.
Like eyes and shit as he's like looking up. Yeah, yo.
It's a perfectly shot movie. So, like, I really appreciate the tones that he uses late in his later movies.
Yeah.
I think, I now go back and go like, oh, no, I get what he was doing then.
He was
trying to do his own thing.
Yeah.
And I was way too like, well, that doesn't look like Top Gun. Like, you know what I mean? And
what a film the judge said Spike Lee.
I'm just doing it because of like how like, oh, it's the sun.
It's conventional.
It's really really super conventional.
Holy shit.
I loved Top Gun when I was a kid, though.
Yeah, shout out to fucking Top Gun.
It's one of the first like the... way to like the me connecting a song to a movie. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Well, Beverly Hills Cop's probably my first.
Right.
Because that whole soundtrack is just like...
iconic fucking yeah. soundtrack.
I guess we can start wrapping up.
Yeah, we should.
We, every week, for people who don't, you know, new listeners, what we do every week as we wrap up, this was a particularly more of a like intro to us as people. Yeah.
We usually do new music. I don't think we need to do new music right now.
No, but generally what'll happen, here's a simple structure for people who are new listeners. We'll normally a new episode will come up. It'll be an intro of just like me and John going over our week or whatever.
Shooting the shit.
Yeah, shooting
usually
the shit.
Usually we record at the top of the week, so we'll talk about our weekend.
Yes, so yeah, we talk about our weekend. We talk about the things that happened. And then we'll go into like topics for the week, like, oh, you know, what's going on, and like,
this,
you know,
album came out,
yeah, or what did Kanye do this week,
yeah, like, Trump said a crazy thing, absolutely. Let's talk about that.
So it's very topical. And then as we begin to wrap, we'll do, like, what are we listening to this week? So we'll give you like music ideas of like, yo, listen, we checked out this
dope new albums that came out.
Yeah, dope new albums that came out.
And just talk about
sometimes
it.
Sometimes stuff that you never heard of. Right. John is very good for bringing up dudes you never heard of.
Random shit.
I'm really good at bringing up UK rappers that you guys have never heard of. So supposedly Stormzy just dropped a new joint. I'm just saying, like, listen, that might be next week.
I feel like everybody knows Stormzy though.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of more. But how many people do we know that are listening to the new Stormzy rapper?
Right.
But yeah, so we'll give you guys some stuff to listen to, check out. Because you know this is what we do. Like this is literally what we do. Now we are involved in the culture, and this is what we do. So we want to give you guys aspects, something you never heard, maybe something you could get into.
Absolutely.
Other than that, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
With some more heat for you guys.
Absolutely. Check us out. Serious Rap Shit. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram.
Yes. Follow us.
We're on Facebook, but also your grandmom's on Facebook.
Yeah, you don't
so
want to be on there.
I don't even worry about that. But
I'm Indi_SRS on Twitter and Instagram. You're John_Liberator.
On Twitter and Instagram, yes.
Yeah.
Just holler at us.
Get with us. Listen, rate, review, and like us. All that fly shit. Shout out to iHeart. It's going to be the start of a beautiful friendship.
There you go.
Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcasts? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Stafford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
What's more enjoyable than everything fun and exciting from across the world of BuzzFeed?
Yes, if you've ever loved a video from Tasty, Cocoa Butter, Paro Like, Nifty, Goodful, or BuzzFeed Celeb, we'll have something for you on BuzzFeed Daily.
And don't forget about great interviews that break down all the wait, what, from the internet and beyond.
Whether it's the world's preeminent astrologist, the star of your favorite streaming show, or maybe even the person behind that TikTok, you know the one. If they're making you smile, we're talking to them.
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, and if you're like me, you're probably worried right now, in part because of the fascist insurrection on January 6th in Washington, D.C. But what if I were to tell you that what happened in D.C. was just the latest in more than a century of fascist attempts to take over democratic governments, many of them successful? Learn about the history of these insurrections and the history of anti-fascist actions attempting to stop them when you listen to Behind the Insurrections on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.